Okay, we're going to go right now to Richard Kleiner of the Southern Pine Council. Richard, good morning. Welcome to Ask the Builder. How you doing?
Hey, Tim.
It's great to have you on the show, buddy.
Well, thanks for inviting us. I'm sitting here in my home in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, watching on Hurricane Watch this morning.
Well, we just had that guy that I was just talking to was from Baton Rouge.
Is that right?
Yeah, the guy who was just on the phone, that Eric guy, he's got a problem with his roof turbine, is from Baton Rouge. So, yeah, Louisiana is the hit state today. Earlier in the show, we got a call from Keith, who lives down in New Orleans.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, so it's like today's the Louisiana day, baby.
We're all up early watching the news. You know?
I know. Yeah, you guys have got a little bit to be nervous about. So, well, we want to talk a little bit about treated lumber. And here's the first thing I want to do is I had a call. One of the first callers to the show was a commercial contractor, and he said that this is all new to me, and I just couldn't believe it was true. He said there was a specification on a job that they're working on where they're using treated lumber, and that if they cut the treated lumber, they have to reseal the end of it. Is that true?
That is not a requirement, but a recommendation.
Okay.
Especially if you're using, let's say, timbers that are, you know, bigger than 2x material.
Okay, like a 4x4 or something.
Yes, because Southern Pine, the cellular structure of Southern Pine lumber gives it the unique characteristic of having being easy to penetrate with wood preservatives.
Yes.
So Southern Pine gets some of the deepest penetration of any kind of structural softwood. In 2x material, unless you're trying to penetrate heartwood, which isn't treatable in any species,
right?
It'll go right through. So you cut through it, and you know generally you're going to have penetration all the way through. But when you get into heavy timbers or heavy dimension lumber, 4x, 3x, 4x4s, 6x6s, and what have you, it's in outdoor use especially. They generally recommend that you treat it with a solution of copper naphthenate, and that solution can be found in general hardware stores.
Okay, all right, good. All right, well then that guy was that was right. I felt like a dolt. I had never heard of that before.
It's in the American Wood Preserving Association standards.
All right, okay.
And, one of those common practices. You're not going to do it, but best performance would be to go ahead and prudent. Would be to do that.
Do that. Okay, well, makes sense. All right, well, we want to talk real quickly. I've got about 5 minutes left before I have to be off the air. Raised floor systems, the one caller from New Orleans was building a raised floor. I built one here on my garden shed. They're making a huge comeback, and there's all kinds of really neat reasons. And I don't think a lot of people know about raised floors. Why are you guys so excited about raised floor systems?
Well, I think it's a confluence of events and trends. First of all, you know, before World War II, pretty much all homes were built on raised floor. Then for whatever reason, post-war, you began to see a lot of slab construction. It was new. It was modern. The low-slung ranch houses used slab systems. And don't get me wrong, it works great in certain regions, desert country and what have you, but we're seeing over time some flaws in that kind of system. First of all, you've got a real high water table in the Gulf South, Deep South. You've got flooding problems.
Plus you can't get to the plumbing. I mean, I'm a licensed master plumber, and I just like to be able to get to stuff, you know?
Well, absolutely. And I live on Baton Rouge is a slab city. You know, the pre-war homes are all on piers. Baton Rouge is post-war, though, I'm living on a slab right now. If the plumbing breaks within the slab and you have a leak, you have to either reroute it or get the jackhammer out. They crack, and if they crack down here in Louisiana, you're guaranteed if the crack's big enough to get termites in the crack, you can't detect the termites when that happens. until it's too late. In a racehorse system, your pest control guy can get under the house and take a look at it. That doesn't preclude having a termite contract. We think everybody in Louisiana ought to have a termite contract to get their house inspected.
Absolutely,
annually.
Right, exactly.
The other, but when getting back to the flooding issue, here we are. You know, Dennis is coming. Dennis is not only going to cause some damage and some flooding on shore, but also as it goes north, you know, they're expecting flooding. And many developments on slab are built at or sometimes even below base flood elevation. That BFE is the maximum height of the last 100-year flood is estimated by the federal emergency management people and the flood insurance people. And, of course, when we pay out thousands and, well, millions and millions of dollars in flood claims every year, that's our tax dollars at work. And we could probably prevent or mitigate a great deal of that if we had built our homes a little bit higher, say 1 foot or 2 feet above base flood elevation. It's kind of like the dirty little secret that nobody really knows about. When you get to the closing of your house, you find out that, A, you're in a flood zone, and, B, because you're built at or below flood elevation, you're going to pay through the nose for flood insurance. And what the insurance people do is if you're built at 1 foot or 2 feet, especially 2 feet above base flood elevation, you can cut your flood insurance costs in half.
Wow, that's big.
There's a big savings for the homeowner that's really not promoted very much.
Yeah. We're running out of time, and I'm going to get you back on the air because we got a lot more to talk about. So we're going to do this another day to figure this. But how can people get more information right now about
right now? Best thing to do, raisedfloorliving.com. It's all one word, okay. www.raisedfloorliving.com.
Oh, man, I'm going to be sending people to there. I'm going to create a link on my website today for them. So,
and for pressure-treated, southernpine.com.
Okay, that's excellent, man. Okay, Richard, well, thanks for getting up, man, and we're going to get you back on the air. And I've got photos at my website right now of mine. Just go to askthebuilder.com, and right in the homepage you'll see that shed photo.
That's a good look. I've been looking at it. It looks great.
All right, well, thanks, Richard.
Cool. We'll see you later.
Okay, we're going to get you back on, man. We got a lot more to talk about. A lot more to talk about. Thanks, sir. All righty. And we're just about out of time here today, and I hope you learned something new. Denny McCune's up next, and it's going to be 2 hours of all that garden stuff, man, about, you know, whatever. And I've got pumpkins grown in my house, so I'm excited about that. So if you need me during the week, askthebuilder.com. Remember, this is WGRR, Hamilton, Cincinnati.